This show furnished by GS Medical Center and Dr. Gregory A. Smith.
Are you tired of the old bait and switch when you're buying auto insurance online? May I interest you in a conversation with an actual human being regarding your insurance needs? If so, call HVH Insurance Services at 888-498-4495. HVH Insurance specializes in auto, home, and business insurance. For honesty, integrity, and a personal relationship with your broker, pick up the phone today and call HVH at 888-498-4495 or log on to hvhins.com. That's hvhins.com.
Hey, are you sleeping alone again because you're snoring? You can't wear your CPAP and you have a lot of fatigue? We treat these problems with a mouthpiece that has 5 FDA certifications. Call the Beverly Hills Center for Snoring for a no-charge consultation at 310-550-9119. That's 310-550-9119.
Cutting through the massive disinformation and propaganda to give you the truth about medical and political controversies, this is Truth, Medicine, and Politics with the executive producer of the award-winning film, American Addict, Dr. Gregory A. Smith. To get on air live with your questions or comments, call 800-222-5222. That's 800-222-5222. Or 800-ABC-KABC. And now, Dr. Gregory A. Smith.
And it is Saturday night, so that means that I am back. And this is Truth, Medicine, Politics with Dr. Gregory A. Smith. And you may be driving in your car right now. You may be going to a movie or coming back to a movie. And we've all seen movies, right? They're just entertainment. It's just something that we do. We go out and laugh at the comedies or get a little scared of the thrillers. But what if there's more to these films than just the entertainment value? I think most of us remember hearing something about years ago, I think it was in the 60s or the 50s, they did some experiments in drive-in films, I believe, where they insert a little frame in the film that would say something like drink Coke or eat popcorn or something like that to see if it worked. And sure enough, they noticed an increase in people going to get popcorn or going to get something to drink. Supposedly that was stopped. It was just an experiment. But what if when we go to the movies, even when we watch television, what if we're getting programming? And it's something that's interested me. I know that Kelly, who produces the show, Kelly and I had talked about doing a show about this almost a year ago, about mind control in the media. We've touched on it several times, but we've never really devoted a show to it, and we've never really had an expert in this on, but we do have that tonight in studio. We have Jay Dyer in studio, and I'm going to introduce him here in a minute, but let's just say that this is a guy that has spent a long time researching this, and he's really a philosopher also, but he's researched hundreds of films. Some of the interviews I've heard with him before, he's talked about the films of the Godfather trilogy and other films like this, and some of the meanings that are behind it. So should we be concerned or should we just be entertained? His book is called, it's coming out in a few months, it's called Esoteric Hollywood, Sex, Cults, and Symbols in Film. His website is jaysanalysis.com. That is jaysanalysis.com. We're going to get some analysis live in studio right now. And Jay, how are you tonight?
I'm great.
Good.
How are you?
Good. Listen, I appreciate you being here. I rushed in here. I think I told you guys I was a little traumatized here with my my son that turned 9 is having a birthday party that's a sleepover, and I've been dealing with 7 to 9 year olds all day.
Well, yeah. We brought you 20 bags of cotton candy to take back to them, so that'll calm them down, I think.
Well, you should have bought like a bottle of whiskey, but other
for the kids.
Yeah,
it's weird.
Yeah, exactly, for the kids. But if he's listening, if his mom put him on for a minute, happy birthday, Aaron Alexander Smith, 9 years old. So your book that's coming out, and you've watched many films. First of all, why don't you tell the audience, how did you even get into this? What made you want to look at films and see if there were some kind of secret messages or something in there?
Well, I guess it's just a reflection of my own interests. So back when I was doing my undergrad work, I was interested in also acting, things like that, doing stand-up. I did stand-up for a while. But I really liked the philosophy of art aesthetics, it's called, and film itself. And so what happened is just kind of a conglomeration. Everything came together to where I decided to combine the two in writing. And so I started writing a bunch. I wrote, 600-700 articles that over the last few years have been put up on the site. And that really kind of propelled an audience. Like it built an audience on its own over time. And so I thought, well, yeah, I should really just collect these essays together and put them in a book. And had a lot of people asking, where's your book? When are you going to book? So it all fell together. It was kind of a synchronicity. Everything came together. And what got me into it was just liking film. And we grew up in the 80s. I did. I don't know. You guys are a little bit older than me, I guess. We swim in a sea of film, right? And so we've been bombarded with that since we were kids. And I noticed a lot of things growing up in films that sort of stood out. And I thought, well, there's got to be a reason why. And then as you take some film classes and things like that, you learn that directors actually do have a meaning and a significance for everything they put in the film. So that kind of propelled me into trying to pick it apart. And down a long rabbit hole, 8-10 years later, you find out that it's just never ending, the connections that you put together. So it all just fell in place.
So, and that's great. That's great that you did that. But is there a problem with it? Meaning, do you see things that are disturbing? Because I mean, you can see things in films, and every director and the great directors all have a lot of truth in their films. I mean, they have the powerful directors know things and have context that the average person doesn't have, and they put these type of things in their film. But is it something that we should be concerned about? Are we being programmed when we're just simply watching movies?
Right. Yeah, that's the thing, is it gets a lot, unfortunately, darker and deeper. And even though the book is not a sex scandal book, it's not who's sleeping with who, I think the title is still fitting, because what's happening is that basically you have long-term psychological warfare and sociology that's done research into how we can actually be programmed through these different medium, and that would include all forms of mass communication. And so a lot of this comes out of the OSS, which is the predecessor to the CIA. A lot of it comes out of Tavistock Institute in England, which dealt with basically mind control, and they've specified it with a scientific technique as to how you can actually program people through films. And so it's not necessarily a situation where you're watching it and a trigger word is going to set you off to do something crazy. It's rather a subtle long-term strategy. And so I think I don't want to detract from the fact that there's a lot of directors and people who produce their art that's done very well. But what happens is that the military, the Pentagon, the CIA, they all have light liaison offices with these different forms of mass media, and they will offer, lucrative benefits for putting in messages into film. And that's the problem.
What kind of messages? I mean, I realize that I was told that the CIA basically has to rubber stamp all the major films that come out of Hollywood. What do they put in the films? I mean, how do we even know this is happening?
Well, one way that we know this is that there have been many books written about it. A lot of people, even in Hollywood, have talked about it openly. Jennifer Garner, Ben Affleck. Ben Affleck said openly that Hollywood's full of CIA. And the reason for that is because the CIA is more about culture creation than it is fighting the Cold War or fighting terror. It's more about crafting culture. And so a big part of that would be, obviously, Hollywood. And so the history of Hollywood really is the camera itself goes back to early military experiments with how you can fake things, right? And so this would be useful for war footage, for presenting disinformation during warfare, so forth. So it's been known for a long time that, you could really affect people at not just the conscious level, but also the subconscious, the unconscious. And that's part of what you mentioned, subliminals, when you were giving the introduction. That's intended to speak to that lower subconscious arena. And then what happens is we're going about our day, and we don't realize that, you know, we've been imprinted with that, even if we're not thinking about it, right? And so that's actually going to influence the decisions we make throughout the day. So that's just one aspect of it, but it's very specific, it's very scientific, and like I said, it ties into all these larger entities that have Pentagon and government connections. And, you know, like I said, there's been many books that have written about this, a lot of documentaries, even on the history of Hollywood and the connection to the Pentagon. But if you ever watch The Twilight Zone, you can actually watch the end of a few of the first episodes, and it'll say made in consultation with the Department of Defense. So it's been going on for a long time.
What about some of the things that we've seen in film? Like, I think it was the first Batman, first Batman film that had that reference to Sandy Hook or something. I think that's what it was. But there was, there was something. Maybe I'm confused.
It was The Dark Knight Rises.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then, but the first one has quite a bit too. So that was one of the first popular film analyses I wrote, was of the first Batman, and you've got this League of Shadows, which is kind of this secret society that basically stages false flag attacks, right, and blames it on their enemy. For those who, you know, aren't familiar with that term, that's a military term where you create some kind of catastrophe or chaos or stage a coup or something like this, and you blame the effects upon the person that you want to target. So then it basically makes them look bad. So, you know, there's, for example, that alone is in numerous films. You've got a lot of films that deal with false flags, and so I, you know, I treat all those in the book and explain how a lot of what you see in film is actually based in reality.
Why would they do that, though? Are they just messing with people? I mean, why did they put that in there if that's really happening or really going to happen?
Yeah, great question. It's kind of a mix of a lot of different things. So maybe 100 years ago, if you were a British writer and you wrote something about your time as a spy, let's say a lot of British writers were spies, like Joseph Conrad or somebody like that, well, you couldn't write something publicly because you were under the Official Secrets Act. Mm. But what you could do is write something in fiction. And so a lot of times that stuff would become, you know, useful for Hollywood scripts or something like that, especially during the Cold War. But on another level, you have these large-scale corporate entities that I've been talking about that would like to place into films propaganda, and that could be for multiple reasons. It could be for advertising, but it also could be deeper level stuff that deals with how to mind control on a mass scale. And that's really what I focus on and talk about quite a bit. So, for example, I wrote a lot on 007 and James Bond, right? And what happens is that you've got this movie that, for a long time, that was the top franchise before Harry Potter. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, how many hundreds of millions of people will see this, right? So that's big for introducing maybe new ideas, like Casino Royale had Bond getting microchipped, right? So that's millions of people are going to say, oh, well, James Bond gets microchipped, I might as well get, right? So that's just one subtle example of how, you know, you can kind of tailor the messages in the film. But if you read the history of, for example, somebody like Ian Fleming, Fleming wrote and talked about the basis for all of his stories that he wrote, the original Bond stories, actually being real life covert operations. So one quick example, Operation Paperclip, which involved the US corporate elite and banking elite swifting away Nazis, right?
Yeah.
Well, Paperclip is the story basically behind his Moonraker. So when he wrote Moonraker, he's writing about the V2 rocket program and the Nazis and Paperclip. So that's, but if you watch the film Moonraker, it's really goofy with Roger Moore floating around, right?
Yeah.
But the actual Fleming novel from 1954 is literally Operation Paperclip. So you've got that kind of stuff. But it also, again, like I said, it can function as advertising, product placement. Everybody knows about that. It was actually the Bond series. It was one of the first series to use product placement. But on that deeper level is that more insidious version of predictive programming, we might say, which kind of basically just conditions us.
And that's what we want to get into, because
right.
I think most people, when they're watching TV or they're watching films and the person's using their phone and it's an Apple phone, or they turn their computer and they prop it up and the camera can see it's Lenovo or whatever, we know we're being marketed to, even
right.
though it's in the film. But what interests me and what concerns me, because I think that again, I just look, the media at this point, mainstream media is basically controlled propaganda for the
right.
most part. I tell people all the time, you have to really dig to get the real story. And I feel like the same thing is happening in our entertainment. So what is the dark side of this? What is the dark side that is being delivered to us from Hollywood?
Ultimately, the dark side, I would say, is anti-human. It's a culture of death. It's about the promotion of things like transhumanism, which is basically Julian Huxley from the Huxley dynasty's term for becoming post-human. And what that means is to move beyond what are seen to be limitations on humanity and to try to propel that into something semi-divine through techne, or what the Greek term for technology. And so that's what a lot of Hollywood deals with nowadays, especially with these TV shows where you have, you know, AI bots that are, you know, and you, what you'll see is in a lot of the transhumanist or AI type propaganda, it's that the humans are bad and the artificial intelligence is almost always promoted as something good. They're inherently good. They're more humane than the humans. You know, if you think about, say, Spielberg's AI or something like that. But that's one avenue that we see nowadays that I think is pretty insidious, is the post-humanism or the transhumanist element, that which is intimately tied into the depopulation agenda, which has, you know, been going on for a long time back to the Malthusianism of the British Empire. So we see that all throughout. I mean, there's just pretty much any area that you want to consider propaganda or psychological warfare that's insidious is in modern film. I mean, you have shows that are about Lucifer, right? Yeah. I mean, it's just pretty blatant. So
is it sort of to condition people to get used to these things? It's not so blatant that it's being like put out there, this is the way to go, but just to sort of, because I look at, if you look at movies that are like rated R, that from like the 70s or even the 80s versus now, it's just night and day what's on there. So is it, we're slowly being walked into this, so we're more conditioned, so when it's put upon us, it's not unfamiliar anymore.
Right. A lot of people, for example, will think that socialism is a great idea, but the problem is that if you look at the method of what we're going through, it's called Fabianism. Mm-hmm. And Fabianism is this older British model of how to convert the entire world into a feudal state, reconvert it, right? Mm-hmm. So you have these more overt things like Nazism or fascism, and those were supported by the establishment. That's how they received their backing, right? Who built up the Ford Motor Park for the Soviets? That was Ford, right? Gorky is the Ford Motor Park. Mm-hmm. You had the Wall Street backing Nazis and the Bolsheviks. For example, I've been doing a lecture on Carol Quigley's Tragedy and Hope, and he basically deals with that throughout the entire book. And he's writing from the establishment. He's saying, here's what we've done. Mm. We're going to fix things, even though we caused all these problems, right?
Right,
said,
right.
But we're also going to give you the salve, right, to fix all this. What I'm getting at is just that that dialectic that they put forward is generally what you see in fiction. And so, for example, you'll be given a false choice. So even if, say, a film might expose something related to terror or false flag terror, something like that, the answer that the film will propose to you is a false choice. So you'll be given like what you either want: more security, right, to keep you safe, or you want, you know, to join the anarchist revolution that's going to fight the system, or join the hackers that are going to fight this. But these are false dialectics, because most of the time those groups will be controlled too. So long story short, I wrote an analysis, for example, of the Spectre film. Mm-hmm. And in the Spectre film, what you have is the presentation of this Nine Eyes nation. It's basically a G8 security idea of the top eight nations or whatever. They're going to create a super NSA that's going to spy on everybody. And the nations that don't go along with it, they get bombed, right, mm-hmm, by rebel factions. But this is actually the security forces that are staging this right now.
Right,
so what,
right,
that sounds good. It sounds like, oh, that's kind of exposing what's going on. But then the way the Bond series leaves you is that, oh, well, the only way out of this is more spies. Mm-hmm. We need more bureaucrats, more, right, James Bonds walking around, or,
right,
people who think they're James Bond, right? So basically it ends up being an advertisement for the surveillance system, for the NSA type, you know, corporate system, while it was couched in the impression of it being anti-establishment.
Yeah.
So a lot of times the propaganda is that way, right? So you're left, you come away with this movie and you think, no, we really need to watch out for, you know.
Yeah, it's like a slow virus, the way this goes in. It's
right.
Just people keep getting pushed, the ideas in their mind. We're speaking tonight with Jay Dyer's in studio here. Jay Dyer, we're talking about his book that's forthcoming, Esoteric Hollywood, Sex Cults, and symbols in film. And there's so many things that's come out of Hollywood in the past that people have written books on that are not so good. And we're here in L.A., so that's why we're talking about it. The number here is 800-222-5222, 800-222-5222, 800-ABC-KBC if you want to call and get involved. So let me talk about the symbols in Hollywood. We look at some of the people always bring up people like Lady Gaga, what Katy Perry did a couple of years ago at the Super Bowl. And is it really, when this has come up, when I first started looking into symbolism and things like that, the first times I was exposed to it, I always told people, well, you know, I didn't even know those symbols meant that. So when I didn't know it meant, didn't mean anything, how could it affect me? But I've changed a little bit over the years after learning more about it. But that's the way I approach it. And I think a lot of people that are just living their lives right now, and they see different corporate symbols that have secret meanings or sinister meanings, they don't even know that it exists. So how does that affect us if we don't even know the symbols matter?
Well, I think that a lot of the people who are sitting in boardrooms of corporate entities and drawing up advertising in the way that you're speaking actually are into the occult. And so they understand a different perspective of how symbols work. And so you might come to it and think, well, that's just a line, a dot, a cross T. It doesn't mean anything to me. But that image has still been imprinted upon you. And so in the esoteric view of, I think, a lot of these people, they understand that you're basically working with fundamental forms and shapes. And those are in Platonism, which is very important to a lot of these people. Platonism teaches the idea that these fundamental forms, geometric forms or Platonic solids, these things make up the entire universe. So the manipulation of such basic forms and symbols can have an impact on us, because we almost intuitively know these are archetypal forms, right? Mm-hmm. Things like a cross or the hexagon or something like that, right? I mean, we see these things in nature, right? I mean, snowflakes or hexagons, right? So these have an archetypal power upon us, whether we recognize it or not. And the people who have a more esoteric or occult perspective understand that. And I think that a lot of that's been suppressed, right, to tell us that we live in this naturalistic, materialistic universe where it's nothing but predetermined causal chain, right, of events that you just evolved out of nothing, right, and everything's meaningless, right. And so when you're given that worldview, you're not gonna make dot connections. You're not gonna think that these things that might have a deeper meaning, right. So I think we're trained to not think about these things and not have critical thinking and understand this stuff. And it's suppressed. It really is through the education system, because the education system is a big part of what you talk about with Big Pharma. Mm. I mean, they're big in terms of the universities, right? So people come out of the universities and they don't understand that Big Pharma has been writing their textbooks, right? Telling them, right?
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah,
so I know you
absolutely
know all about that, but yeah. But so it's not much different with the arts, right? And this kind of stuff. It's the same thing where you have manipulations and cons that go on at a higher level by people at the Rand Corporation these days. You know, I just drove past the Rand Corporation the other day, and they got that big metal chain link atomic explosion out there, right? It's like, what in the world?
Yeah.
It's insane. Well, the Rand Corporation has really shaped the modern world. They moved the U.S. away from an industrial nation into a service economy, as well as they will sit down and war game all these kinds of things that we're talking about. And it's not any different than other entities that will also have Hollywood connections. And so they want to obviously craft. And a lot of people in the arts will come out and talk about this.
I was just going to ask you, do they even know? I mean,
When
Katy Perry wrote out on that, I mean, I don't even know what to call that.
They look like the beast from Crowley's tarot deck
or
something,
scary.
Right?
It was scary. Even people that didn't understand that, I would look at that and go, this doesn't look right. But is she being used, or does she know this?
Yes. I think most of these people are being used.
So they're not aware.
I see the president's in the exact same role. And I mentioned Quigley earlier, who's writing from these. He says that. He says, we've given you the presidential elections by a fake two-party system for 100 years.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's any different with these pop stars who are unfortunately kind of commodified. They're just made. They're just commodities they're a product that are sold.
Right.
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 And so they're being used just like anybody else. And you go into the history of Hollywood, a lot of the top list stars were more or less prostituted. yeah. right, in the yeah. studio system. Yeah. So it's not any, they're used is what I'm trying to, but a lot of them will eventually, I think, kind of break free from the programming, and then sometimes they have a mental breakdown or right. something like right. that, right?
We are talking with Jay Dyer here in studio. We're talking about Hollywood tonight because we live here in L.A. We're going to get to some other topics in a little bit. I think this is so important. And his book coming out is Esoteric Hollywood, Sex, Cults, and Symbols in Film. And if you want to call in because this is going to be interesting stuff when we come back. This is Dr. Gregory A. Smith, and we will be right back.
You're listening to Truth, Medicine, and Politics with Dr. Gregory A. Smith. To get on the air live with your questions or comments, call 800-222-5222. That's 800-222-5222 or 800-ABC-KABC. We'll be right back right after this break.
Hey, are you sleeping alone again because you're snoring? You can't wear your CPAP, and you have a lot of fatigue? We treat these problems with a mouthpiece that has 5 FDA certifications. Call the Beverly Hills Center for Snoring for a no-charge consultation at 310-550-9119. That's 310-550-9119.
Are you tired of the old bait and switch when you're buying auto insurance online? May I interest you in a conversation with an actual human being regarding your insurance needs? If so, call HVH Insurance Services at 888-498-4495. HVH Insurance specializes in auto, home, and business insurance. For honesty, integrity, and a personal relationship with your broker, pick up the phone today and call HVH at 888-498-4495 or log on to hvhins.com. That's hvhins.com.
Oh, baby, get a look at those. Norm's Baby Back Ribs are back. Complete rib dinners with golden fried shrimp, crispy chicken tenders, or juicy sirloin steak. Starting at $11.99, soup and salad included. Stack up your rack at Norm's. Open 24/7. Normsrestaurants.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, the sale of the year at Chamonix is finally here. It's the summer blowout sale. Now, you've heard me rave about the amazing Genucel plant stem cell therapy for bags and puffiness under the eyes. I use it, and I love it, and you should too. It's like a full night's sleep in a jar. I get up at 0:30 every morning, and trust me, it's not pretty, but a little Genucel knocks down the puffiness and the bags. They're gone. And now, for the first time ever, you can get Chamonix's remarkable Laessence neck treatment to try absolutely risk-free. Laessence has powerful antioxidants to tighten the sensitive area on your neck, leaving your skin silky smooth. You heard me, nothing works better, and it's yours today when you order Genucel. The number to call, 800-631-6443. And with its immediate effects, you're going to see results in the first 12 hours, guaranteed your money back. When you call right now, 800-631-6443, Chamonix will double your order absolutely free. And it gets even better, because call now, you'll get free express shipping. 1-800-631-6443. Don't wait. This crazy summer sale won't be around forever. 800-631-6443. Genucel from Chamonix.
Hey, it's Jillian, and I want to tell you guys about Northwest Rugs and Furniture. Did you know they've been locally owned for 24 years? They've got the largest selection of rugs on the West Coast, and they pride themselves on having quality rugs and furniture at affordable prices. I should know, I bought a rug about 10 years ago that I still have in my dining room. Northwest Rugs and Furniture has a diverse selection of dining room, bedroom, and living room furniture. There's a huge sale going on right now with 25% off and lowest prices of the season on rugs. Make sure to visit their new store in Sherman Oaks and visit NWRugs.com.
Hi, I'm Joan London, and if you're worried about your parent or a loved one living alone like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. With one phone call, you'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. It's a free service, so call now.
800-391-1755. 800-391-1755.
World, say hello to some old friends. It's been a long time, but they remember you. They're my toes, and they've been hidden ever since I got nail fungus. Yeah, nail fungus. I know, embarrassing, right? Really ugly stuff that I just couldn't get rid of. Tried several doctors, took pills, creams, even considered surgery. Of course, with that, you lose your nail, and there's no guarantee that the fungus won't come back. So I tried Clear Touch. ClearTouch is a little handheld device you use at home. It's painless because it uses light. Yes, light to travel fast and deep. Can't believe I went so long hiding my toes when this simple, inexpensive solution was waiting right there at ClearTouch. ClearTouch is even cleared by the FDA because it's safe and works. Yeah, my toes saw the light. So, world, I'd appreciate it if you could pass the word about ClearTouch, the phototherapy solution that works.
Call 800-720-1070. That's 800-720-1070. That's 800-720-1070 or cleartouchnails.com.
Any Tom, Dick, or Harry can tell you that Geico could save you money on car insurance. But since money talks, why not go straight to the source?
Hey, Harry's Money here. And the day Harry went to Geico.com and switched his car insurance was the day I got to hang around. Finally, boys bonding, bada bing, bada boom. No wonder Geico has 97% customer satisfaction. Personally, I give him 100, but that's just my 2 cents. That was funny.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
It's Peter Tilden for Simi Valley Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Colin, the GM, thinks way outside the box. Like I said, give me a great price on a Jeep Renegade Sport. He said, how about $175 a month with just $50 down? They also have the most over-the-top conversions that make a statement. Simi Valley Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, they got Cherokees, Challengers, muscle cars, trucks, and Renegades for just $175 a month with only $50 down. Their phone number, 805-416-1328, or go to their website, Simi Valley Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram.
We are moving the KABC studios and need your help as we flip this biz. The new place is in bad shape and we need help with everything. Construction, flooring, lights, furniture, artwork, paint, the whole nine. And we want to invite your business to partner with us and help us on this journey. Are you in? Want to help? Contact Vernon Kopp at 310-840-4828 and let us know you want to help us flip this biz.
Are you tired of the old bait and switch when you're buying auto insurance online? May I interest you in a conversation with an actual human being regarding your insurance needs? If so, call HVH Insurance Services at 888-498-4495. HVH Insurance specializes in auto, home, and business insurance. For honesty, integrity, and a personal relationship with your broker, pick up the phone today and call HVH at 888-498-4495 or log on to hvhins.com. That's hvhins.com.
Hey, are you sleeping alone again because you're snoring? You can't wear your CPAP and you have a lot of fatigue? We treat these problems with a mouthpiece that has 5 FDA certifications. Call the Beverly Hills Center for Snoring for a no-charge consultation at 310-550-9119. That's 310-550-9119.
Want the truth? You're listening to Truth, Medicine, and Politics with Dr. Gregory A. Smith. To get on the air live with your questions or comments, call 800-222-5222. That's 800-222-5222 or 800-ABC-KABC. And now, Dr. Gregory A. Smith.
And we are back. My guest tonight is Jay Dyer in studio. His website is jaysanalysis.com, jaysanalysis.com. You want to go to this site. This man has really put a lot of time into summarizing very difficult material to understand and putting together a lot of information that you need to understand. I mean, every week we try and bring you information that's going to help you in your life and really elucidate what's going on, because you're not really being told the truth when you just listen to your normal news. Yes, if there's a new zoo animal that's been born, that's probably true. Maybe the weather forecast is true, but I can tell you that pretty much any political news, and remember, medical issues, all these things are political issues. I look at it as almost like a balloon, and you know, a big balloon, on the surface of the balloon is the truth, but the inside of it, the inside where all the air is where we get the deception. Sometimes we just get flat out lies. We get disinformation, or just we don't get told the whole story. But the surface of the balloon, there's truth there. So when we see it on the news, it's like, oh, that makes sense. That makes sense. But then we don't really get all the story. So that's what we're trying to do here. So we're talking about Hollywood. We're talking about symbols. We're talking about when you go to the film or you're watching television, are you being programmed? Jay's book, Esoteric Hollywood Sex, Cults, and Symbols in Film, will be out in a few months. It'll be on Amazon. You need to check that out. So, Jay, I want to go back to a couple things here. And one of the things that we were talking about before we went to the break was Katy Perry and this thing she did a few years ago in the Super Bowl.
Right.
And even this past year, I think it was Beyonce, right, that similar people were complaining about things. And for people that are maybe just tuning in, my point was, if we don't know what these symbols mean, if we're not part of that, why would we care about that? Why would we care what Katy Perry did or what Beyonce does or what Lady Gaga does?
Well, ultimately, I don't guess you should. But a lot of people do, and they do because even if you don't care, most of your friends and family and kids will, right? I mean, you got kids. Mm-hmm. Do you want your kids being, doing, and seeing everything that the commodities that are marketed to them that I call like musical junk food, right? Like,
right.
I mean, you know, that's the danger, is the targeting aspect of this. But so the symbols, like you said, why are they dangerous? Well, I mean, there's nothing inherently evil or dangerous, I don't think. But the problem is that these things are used through repetition. They're used through, you mentioned earlier the term entrainment, Kelly. I mean, that's how it works, is that we're constantly bombarded with these things and it sinks in on a subconscious level. And so, you know, it really is true that, you know, what Solomon said in Proverbs, you know, he talked about watching what comes into the window of your eyes, right? And so I think that that's a big part of it, is that we will be programmed whether we want to or not if we continually subject ourselves to this kind of media. That I think it's toxic media, toxic culture. And it's created to be that way on purpose. And we were talking in the break about Brave
That's
New
the
World.
Key. Yeah.
In Brave New World, Huxley says that the culture, the music, everything was dumbed down, and it was done so intentionally so that the people would not know what the arts were. So they were protected from beauty. And Mustafa Mond, who plays the socialist world controller, towards the end of the film is explaining to the protagonist characters, they're saying, why are you doing this? Why are you suppressing science, true knowledge, real education, and the arts? And he says, because that's how we control the world. We don't want people who can think critically, who can reason, who can be rational. We want drones. And the way that you do that is multifaceted, is called full spectrum dominance. And that includes diet, that includes environment, the biosphere, education, economics, the arts, all of it has to be not completely controlled, but it has to be guided. And so you want to make sure that people are going to, you know, go into the four-year, $100,000 college system and come out ready for a cubicle, right? Ready to spend.
If they can get a job.
If they can get a job, right, with a degree in what, like liberal arts or something?
Yeah, very true, yeah. Very true.
That's why this system as a whole is basically anti-human, and that's the point.
So let's look a little further into this. I mean, there are many things that get told to me that I can't verify, but I've had different people tell me the same thing, and these people don't know each other. And mm-hmm. some of these people have been in politics and different positions, people I was exposed to when we made the films. Very disturbing stuff. People being not just mind controlled, but really mind controlled in the situation where they were put into sex slave situations and different things like this. And we've had some ex-child actors come out and talk right. about the pedophilia in Hollywood. These are subjects that people just don't want to talk about because it's so distasteful to normal people, I should say, or people that don't do these things, that it's hard to talk about. But as I always tell people, if you don't talk about it, then you're sort of perpetuating the problem, because we need to stop this nonsense. Are you seeing that in your research and the things mm-hmm. that you're seeing? You say get sinister. What are you seeing with that? Is there any truth to that, the pedophilia that goes on in Hollywood?
Well, according to, you know, all these people that have come out, there is. You know, I don't have any direct knowledge of that, but what these people are claiming who are in those circles and have experienced that, and what we've seen in different court cases suggests that. I mean, think about Jimmy Savile, right? I mean, think about Penn State. Think about the Franklin cover-up, if you've heard about that one, which you can look up too. I mean, this is not something new. This is what has gone on in noble, quote, circles for a long time, and that is the traumatization of the youth and the future generations. And so if you have any doubts that whether it's happening, well, it's happening to everybody on a mass scale, and the people who perpetrate this stuff have no qualms or moral compass at all. So, I mean, in other words, we've already seen these things come out in the news, and so it's not like this circle of the elite would be exempt from that.
Well, what about when that naked young man fell out of the palace, you know, out of Buckingham Palace about 3 years ago.
Oh, that was actually, I got up this morning, I was a little drunk. You're talking about when I fell out the, off the balcony? No, I'm joking.
No, people can't even process it. Like, they don't stop to think, well, what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why is there
a
young naked male falling out of the window at Buckingham Palace?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. I don't know.
Well, it does make sense, though, from a evil perspective.
Right.
I mean,
right.
That's really how I look at it.
From an evil perspective, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I think you make a great point when you say that, and I've said something similar to people. It's like when we see, if we said that Charlie Manson or mm-hmm. someone like that did something crazy, people say, well, he's crazy. But there are crazy people in all walks of life, and a lot of sociopaths are very high functioning people.
Right.
But the public, as much as the public knows how many times they've been lied to by people in government and high powers, it amazes me how there's still so much faith put in these same institutions or these same new face, same message politicians, and believe that it's going to change. And if you have it in all walks of life, why not in these situations? Why not in Hollywood? Why not in CEOs
of
large corporations?
The reason people don't see it is because of that fallacy of authority. So when you were talking about how do symbols affect us, even if we don't care about it, well, everybody has been entrained into accepting symbols of authority. So when you see the president on the TV, it has this appearance, has this air of authority. When you see Congress in session, when you see Homeland Security doing this or that or whatever, the only reason that it, or think about the dollar, right? The dollar with the all-seeing eye on it. I mean, we don't think about that image, but it's stamped there to let you know that you use our currency, the Federal Reserve System, yeah, right? That you use the Federal Reserve System, whether you recognize it or not, and that symbol shows that the power that it has.
Yeah.
And so why does it work? Because everybody accepts it.
Right.
Right? So that's the power that symbols have. And so in the same way, you know, if you get into the darker stuff with what you're talking about with, you know, these elite cults and stuff, this, you know, this really goes on. And so, you know, this has been revealed in, for example, Eyes Wide Shut by Stanley Kubrick. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a whole chapter in the book that deals at length with that film and what he was, I think, trying to say with it, trying to get out. And what you see there is what you're talking about. You have, you know, an elite cult that's able to utilize sex slaves. That's what they're doing, basically, with these beauty queens and models that are brought in to mm-hmm. the cult who are mm-hmm. used, right? And then in the film, if you remember the film narrative, one of the girls is willing to die to get out of it.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah. I think that is what we're seeing with a lot of these people.
Yeah. We're going to take some calls. There's people who want to speak to you about this. And I have Fred. Fred, are you there? How are you doing tonight?
Yes. How are you doing tonight?
Good, good. What's your, you have a question about, are we going to be able to overcome this?
Yeah, that's my question. Will we as a society, as people, will we see this change at all?
Is there any hope?
I'm having a hard time putting it to words.
Yeah, I understand. Jay, why don't you?
The Federal Reserve, through our fiat dollar system, has allowed these people to have that power.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, are you of the thinking that that will change?
Well, I don't know if it's going to change anytime soon, but my message of hope would be focus on the things that are in your domain, your arena that you can change. Like, you know, the things that are around you. Think about what is best for your family, for you and your friends. And, you know, the media, I think, really wants you to be sold on focusing on things that are happening a million miles away that will never affect you. And so we're constantly told about, I mean, even if you live, you know, here, the events in Orlando are only, we think that they have such an importance because of the media. And I'm not saying that it wasn't important. I'm just saying that any of these events, like if the media talks about a war, we're supposed to focus on those things and let those things determine our perspective, right? So we're letting the synthetic production of media determine the way that we're going to live. And so that's right. What I would say, just unplug from all this and, you know, as much as you can unplug from the system, do so on your own for you and yours. And don't worry about this stuff.
And Fred, I do think there's hope. I mean, I always, when you talk about, in fact, not only is there hope, I think that there's been a shift that the good people, so to speak, are winning, because there's so much panic going on right now. There's been a full court press on really getting people back in line and controlled. And one of the things you can look at, I mean, if you look at organic food as an example, 10, 12 years ago, you couldn't find it. Now even the chain stores are having at least sections of organic food. So if you control with the dollar, what you're spending on, which you control, which you focus on, then you can change it. And I agree 100%. Change your personal atmosphere, and then collectively it will all change.
And that is your creativity, how you create your daily life. Whatever you're doing, you're either creating or destroying every choice you make.
One thing I always try to remind myself, too, is that it's all about the system just wants you afraid of things constantly.
Yeah.
And so just getting rid of all of that that'll be a huge step in the right direction.
Yeah, Fred, thank you for your call. We got to get some other people in here. And I just do want to make a point, too, about what you said, that always focusing over there, this whole ISIS thing.
Yes,
And John B. Wells says ISIS is USIS, and we were behind it. But yet it's like this, it's this perpetual war that we can never win, because it's not like we're going someplace to fight. They're everywhere.
Right.
And it keeps people in fear, keeps people in control. I'm going to go to Kay. Okay, you're in the air.
Yeah. Hi.
How you doing?
Listen, I was listening to you. I was really surprised. Up to, say, years ago, I grew up on Hollywood movies and, you know, basically Western media, especially American. You know, you believe America stood for, you know, human rights, democracy, this, that.
Mm-hmm.
And every other movie is about, you know, Nazi Germany, Soviet Union, and this and that. Now, last few years, I just realized probably... not verbally. I mean, verbally they stand for good and da, da, da. You know, you hear it all the time. And we look at Latin America to Southeast Asia, to Africa, to Middle East. They committed probably killed more innocent people than, let's say, Nazi Germany and Stalin combined. And then you look at every bloody dictator been imposed in this world by the U.S. system, that elite hitting, you know, system, whatever their agenda is. And, you know, we just watching all these movies, especially every TBS. TBS every other week has something about Stalin, something about crime of Northern Germany, or Pol Pot. Even Pol Pot came to power with the help
of the West, absolutely.
A lot of people don't know that,
right?
You know, or if you go to Laden, if you go, you know, Taliban, if you go talk even ISIS, if you look at the map, if all these countries surrounding ISIS, they claim they are against it. If they don't have to do anything, all they have to do is prevent weapons and food and material to get to these people. Okay, there's a bunch of ragtags. How could be such a bloody killers?
Yeah, right.
No, think about it. There's truly, all these countries are claiming they are against them. Okay, if they stop, look at for the last 5 years, every single day, they are exploding millions of ammunition. What do they get? They don't have a factory. They don't farm. How do they feed themselves?
Yeah. Well, this has come out that the supply lines for ISIS in Syria are through Turkey. So Turkey's a NATO country. So you've got Erdogan and his dynasty there having a sweet deal with ISIS for oil. And that's come out in mainstream media even. So, you're absolutely right about Latin and South America, too, if I heard you right. That the CIA has been toppling and putting in puppets for decades there. Absolutely.
And where all the weapons in the world come from? I mean, who sells more weapons than anybody? The good old USA. Kay, thank you for your call.
heard about this short-term journalist who documented the whole thing.
Oop, he's off. Oop. Okay, I'm sorry. I had to go forward here. We only have a few more minutes left. We have to really get you back here, and we can do a couple hours because there's a lot to talk about.
Sure.
We only have about 5 or 6 minutes here, and this stuff is dark. We haven't even got there. It gets even darker, I know. We've just sort of started to touch on it. And we sort of brought up a few minutes ago when that one caller asked, is there any hope? What do you tell people what they can do to make this better? Because sometimes when you immerse yourself, and I'm sure this has happened to you before, it's happened to me. There's sometimes where I just keep reading and the videos and it just gets too much. You just almost have to take a break. It's so much information. What do you tell people?
That's a great question. Well, one of the things that I think is very liberating and a reason why I wrote this book was to look at my own journey through these things. And yeah, you might be depressed at first, but what happens is when you start to understand the Hollywood side of all this, and I'm not saying that real events, don't actually happen out there, but what I'm saying is when you understand the Hollywood propaganda side of all of this, a lot of the fear falls away. Mm-hmm. So you're not worried anymore that, the world's going to end tomorrow, that Planet X is going to hit us, or that ISIS is going to bomb some. That you have this, that's like one of the last things that's going to kill you. You'll die from a shark right before you'll die from a terror attack.
Exactly.
According to the statistics
this week.
Yeah.
Right. Well, okay. Maybe the sharks are with ISIS.
Yes, right? And so are the
ISIS sharks,
right?
And the alligators. Right?
I always say you have more of a chance of being kicked to death by a donkey twice than dying of a terror attack.
So I think understanding one of the things I try to do at my site is give people basic critical thinking. So what I do in a lot of my philosophy talks and lectures is kind of go back to the basics and look at logical fallacies and how to reason right and how to look at an argument, deconstruct it, how to deal with people that are presenting disinformation so that you can deconstruct it and not be programmed. And so I think that's what this book's going to do is actually. It's good news because it's like, actually most of what I'm being told is not real. I'm not going to be killed tomorrow by some, outrageous event. But it does it in a fun way where you're looking at, film and understanding that, this much was real. This much is actually history. This much is propaganda psyops trying to scare you.
Yeah. It's sad that that's what it's come to. But it's really true that people are being controlled a lot by fear.
Right, and so what I did was I picked Kubrick, Ridley Scott, Spielberg, Hitchcock, the Ian Fleming films, and David Lynch, some of my favorite directors that everybody's seen something by, right?
Absolutely.
And then show you, is there a darker side to E.T.? I mean, even some of these crazy kid films like E.T. or Labyrinth or The Dark Crystal, right? I mean, these have very bizarre plots, very strange messages. I mean, The Dark Crystal actually has children serving the elite, these Skeksis, right?
Crazy.
Mm.
Crazy. Crazy.
Remember that guy? Right? And they're sapping the energy from kids.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing.
Yeah. Well, that's, and as we know in these rituals and in pedophilia,
exactly.
That's part of what's going on. Listen, we only have a minute left. Mm-hmm. I want to get your website in here. It's jaysanalysis.com. Jaysanalysis.com. You got to go there and check it out. I've been to his site more than once. Got in there and looked at some of the things that you've written and the videos. It's fantastic. And then he has the Esoteric Hollywood, Sex, Cults, and Symbols in Film. That's going to be out in, about 2 months?
Yeah, you can order it now. It's on Amazon. You can go to Trine Day Publishers or Amazon.com and type in Jay Dyer or Esoteric Hollywood. And, it's going to come to you. It's got a lot of colorful pictures, a lot of text, 404 footnotes. It took me 2 weeks to do the footnotes.
Jesus. That's.
You can also, I do philosophy lectures. You can subscribe for those at Jay's Analysis.
A lot of research, a lot of information. Take advantage of it. Listen, it's been, the hour went fast. We're going to have to bring you back. And appreciate you coming in tonight.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, that's it. I am going to be back next Saturday night. You guys have a great week. This is Dr. Gregory A. Smith, and I will see you next Saturday night.
This show furnished by GS Medical Center and Dr. Gregory A. Smith.